Hello, everyone. Recently, Mark Zuckerberg decided that he was going to make Meta, Facebook, much like Elon Musk's Twitter. And, generally, we're going to see a dial down of censorship on these big tech social media sites. And you may be wondering, well, why is it? Is it because Mark Zuckerberg is suddenly red-pilled or because he's been going to the gym? Some of you genuinely believe that, don't you? Shouldn't be here. Anyway, why is the system no longer censoring people like it used to? Well, in this video, I'm going to explain the exact mechanism by which, in a way, it really doesn't need to censor all that much anymore. That I'm going to be explaining a number of concepts, crowding out, mainstreaming, artificial boosting, and then I'm going to be reading my essay, my recent essay, a short article rather, The Online Right Are Almost Entirely Fake. So before I begin, I will remind everybody that my new course, Foundations of Shakespeare, has been released. Buy it now. Great price. You would pay upwards of 3 or 4K to take that from me as a, at a university or something. I'm offering it for a fraction of that, and you're getting a lot more content for it as well. Basically a top level university course. Anything you wanted to know about Shakespeare is in there. 8 plays covered. Anyway, let us get to the lecture at hand here. What is crowding out? Well, in the old days, let's just pretend that back in 2016, the social media space looked like this. These yellow circles represent a genuine independent voice making social media content, okay? They are not affiliated with anybody. They're not being paid by a third party. They don't have any rich patrons. They're not part of a media network or anything like that. These are just normal people making content online, okay? Influencers, you might say, but genuinely independent ones. And back in 2016, 2017, in the ascendancy were a bunch of people on the right. In those days, it would have been people like Stefan Molyneux is a great example. Millennial Woes was big on YouTube. A number of other people who were around back then, Dickie Spencer, many other people, many of whom you will have now forgotten. Some of them are still around in some shape or other, but most of them are no longer anywhere near as prominent as they used to be because they were simply banned or nuked off the various mainstream platforms in the great wave that took place in around 2017-2018. They were basically wiped out, most of those, not all of them. Some of them somehow managed to avoid that, but most of the people from that time were sidelined, marginalized. So then what happened is that over time, these blue circles here start creeping in the gaps that were left. And these blue circles, unlike the yellow ones, aren't truly independent voices. They are secretly working for some network. Some of them are openly working for a network media organization. They have, elite backing in some capacity. And the difference between the yellow and the blue should be obvious, because the yellow has a chance of being a genuine dissident who's going to speak unfiltered truth to you, whereas the blue has got some sort of agenda. Whether they're open about it or not, they've got an agenda. They're working for a party, some specific cause, a country, a security state, something. They've got some other agenda there. As you can see, over time, these blues start to become more prevalent, and the yellows, partly through banning and so on, start to drift away. Well, by the time Elon Musk bought Twitter, the situation looked a lot like this. There were still some independent voices left, but not many. Most of the stuff that was being served up on YouTube, on Twitter, and elsewhere had turned blue. Most of the people were, even if they were independent, they were probably more diluted than the 2016-2017 strain. All of the main voices of whom were shunted off to alternative platforms, smaller platforms, or in some cases completely forgotten about. So now you have an environment where the dominant messaging of the social media space on the right is basically coming at you from people who in one form or another are shills, paid up regime shills in one form or another. Now, this creates a very different environment. Back in this time here, where it was all yellow, back in 2016, 2017, it was a worry to the system because they had been reliant on the old media, the legacy media, newspapers, television, things like that. They hadn't yet learned how to deal with this, okay? That was in 2016. But I would say it didn't take them that long to figure out that actually, if you can control the social media discourse, you don't really need, you know, it took them a while, took them a few years to figure out, but okay, legacy media is not what it used to be, the MSM, not what it used to be, but what if we could get in there and control the social media space, just give them a nudge one way or the other? We could shunt the discourse, we could create an atmosphere, vibes, we could isolate anybody who doesn't agree, we could use network effects, and because it's all mapped nodes on a network, right? So if you can isolate key nodes, or if you can knock out a couple of key nodes, you reduce their effectiveness, you reduce their reach, and you crowd them out with all of these blue voices. And over time, of course, these blue voices can multiply and they can get given columns and jobs. And, you know, there's this site and this magazine and this new venture and that new venture. They all start creeping in. Money starts flowing in to these spaces. And again, the proportion of shills to genuine independent voices is now where it used to be, almost entirely independent voices back here. Now we're looking at a really quite large ratio where it's 3 or 4 to 1 shill to independent. Okay. Now, when you are faced with a situation like this, which is the situation that Elon Musk was taking over, and it'll certainly be the situation on Facebook or Meta now, it's very easy for Elon Musk to be magnanimous and to start bringing people back and, wow, okay, now we can bring back this guy and bring back that guy, or bring back this dude who was banned 5 years ago, or that dude who was banned 3 years ago. But now when they're on the space, they won't enjoy. Remember, back in 2016, all of those people who were banned enjoyed a kind of unrivaled monopoly. They were, they had very prominent positions in the discourse, whereas now they have a marginal position in the discourse, and they are basically crowded out by all of these blues. And that is crowding out in a nutshell. And the power of the blue network, the fake shill blue network, is that they can push the discourse in this way and that. And they can have everybody, including these yellow people around the fringes and edges who were previously prominent in the discourse, now they're kind of begging around for crumbs around the side, they can effectively push those into talking about whatever they want on any given day, on any given week, okay? Whether, and you see it day in, day out on Twitter. So it will be on Facebook. And indeed, there's a similar effect here on YouTube as well. Although in a strange way, YouTube, for my money, seems like the least bad of these at the moment. But you see it, you know, there's always some like current little hot debate that's going on. And it's usually fake and crap in some way as well. Now, there are some people in this blue network who do it better than others. Sometimes they, you know, they make a push for a discourse play and it backfires badly. I mean, I would suggest that the whole woke right thing was an attempt at that. But you see, it's not just those, you know, it's not just those people. There are many other people in this supposedly quote unquote based and red pilled network who are actually blue nodes, even though they may appear to you as a yellow node. They're blue nodes in disguise. And we've discovered many, many of these over the months and years, you know. So you see these network these networks kind of reveal themselves at key moments. So that's crowding out. And it's especially prevalent you know, on Elon Musk's Twitter, I would say. It's almost like a custom-made environment. So in that environment, does Elon Musk need to censor as much as he used to, right? I mean, the returns of banning these guys at this point was quite big, right? You massively damaged their effectiveness, and, you know, you opened up the space for the blues to come in. But now you're in this situation, the actual kind of benefits of banning these guys around the edges is less than the benefit of claiming that you're for free speech, right? And, oh, this is the public market square and we'll defeat them in the marketplace of ideas and so on. Okay, we're just going to make sure we try to tilt the scale in the marketplace of ideas to our side. Okay, so this is crowding out. Second thing is artificial boosting. Now, I probably don't need to tell you too much about this. It's self-explanatory, but it has been revealed that certain people in the algorithm, both here on YouTube and on Twitter, are artificially boosted to be more prominent. If you've spent any time on Twitter, or X as it's known now, you'll know that these are all the little goons who suck up to Elon Musk, or the people who Elon Musk retweets himself, you know, libs of TikTok, Ian Chung Lee, End Wokeness. You know, there's a few people who, even if you don't follow them or you go out of your way to try to avoid, they still somehow end up on your screen. And it was revealed, I believe, through a leak that Ben Shapiro is one of the people who's artificially boosted on on Twitter. So, yeah, I mean, that's another very simple thing. So you have this situation where you have this conversation going on, but you see poor old little independent yellow, all the independent yellows around the, you know, they're up against these, this network of blues here, but the blues are being artificially boosted. The blues are like being given undue prominence and an extra kind of push in the algorithm so that they get in front of more eyeballs than the yellows. Do you remember what Elon Musk said? Freedom of speech, not freedom of reach. So he's going to tilt the scales. And not just Musk, any platform is going to tilt the scales, especially if big money is involved, if big vested interests are involved. Governments, political parties, political operatives, sleazeballs who hang around Washington, D.C. or Westminster. Another pretty effective tactic is mainstreaming. Look, this was when Libs of TikTok had a USA Today piece. I noticed Curtis Yarvin was being interviewed in the New York Times. Various other people who've been doxxed have had like they've had splashes in various mainstream outlets. Now, why does that happen? Or what is the purpose of that happening? It happens basically to make this person a household name. This is a tactic used by the media yeah, okay, it's controversial, right? But remember Eric Bischoff, controversy creates cash. This made Libs of TikTok into a household name. It introduced her to the average newspaper reader. Okay, she may have been introduced as like a vile, hateful Twitter user or whatever, but the fact is it made Libs of TikTok and many other examples of this happening. And, you know, as someone who's actually kind of been through, an episode, it's a choice that you make. It's a choice that you kind of be like, right, do I want this to be a story and do the whole newspaper thing and appear and, you know, have it all be a big thing? Or do I really not want to do that? And I basically never wanted to do anything like this. But other people make different choices. And here we go. And it's often interesting to keep an eye on who it is who makes that choice, to see if there's anything that connects all of those people. All right, so those are the three ways, basically. So what I'm saying is that now, when you're in this situation on Twitter, you know, you've got the three things together. Let's just pretend this blue node is Libs of TikTok there, and there is little old you, right? The independent. You know, this person's had artificial boosting in the algo, and they've been mainstreamed. So they're now like a kind of old legacy media figure in however minor a way, as well as being a social media star. Okay, so they come with extra weight and extra kind of legitimacy that mainstreaming process lends them. So the scales are tilted, right? It's an unfair, asymmetric battleground. And in such a situation, the big tech sites and system doesn't really need to censor social media anymore. I mean, obviously, if you start dropping the N-bomb and, you know, slurs like a madman or whatever, you will get banned, right? But I'm talking about political censorship in the way that certain people have been completely deplatformed in the past, okay? What I'll do now is I'm going to read this, with all of that in mind, I'm going to read this essay. The online right is almost entirely fake. I wrote this a couple of days back on Forbidden Text. Subscribe to that if you're not already on there. People said they liked me reading my articles, so I'm going to read this one in full. And I think you'll see it goes quite well with the presentation I've already given you. Classic chivalric feudalism was based on an honor system of blood oaths. Over time, as bonds of honor came to be replaced by cash payment, the system degraded. Feudal lords became grubby, self-seeking, Machiavellian, and treacherous. A similar degradation has taken place on the online right over the past couple of years, as independent voices have come gradually to be crowded out by paid shills, regime stooges, and mouthpieces for moneyed interests. It has suffered a severe bout of what Thomas Carlyle once called gigmanity. Once righteous ideals have dwindled into tired red cap versus blue cap debates. This is one of many reasons that I now count myself as a former member. Now I only watch from a detached distance from the sensible centre. There are two chief distortive elements that have muddied the waters to the extent that now there is only mud, namely the regime itself and moneyed interests. Both take away from truth-telling. Jonathan Haidt once said of the woke epidemic at universities that the academy cannot serve two masters. It can either serve the truth or it can serve political activism. The hijacking of online right spaces by the regime and by moneyed interests have had a similar effect. Where righteous ideals and the pursuit of capital T truth once stood, now there is only their distant memory, a landscape of ruins, And in their wake, we have had a cacophony of competing interests and voices serving some higher master. The establishment of institutions has gradually had a detrimental effect on the discourse, since such institutions seldom, if ever, have truth as their summum bonum, but rather a sectional interest and agenda, whether it be those of a foreign power, a political party, a corporate sector, or even the interests of wealthy individuals. Now, some time back, I made a video called The Schools of the Right. Do you remember that? Discover the Secrets, The Schools of the Right. This video spoke to something like the Platonic forms of the eight schools, which is to say, how they exist in theory as opposed to in actu. John Arcto provided a somewhat different guide categorizing the factions of the rightosphere, worth reading that if you haven't, by the way, which speaks to the opposite, which is to say, how they exist in actu as opposed to in theory. One thing you will notice reading that guide is the various moneyed interests, parties, institutions, and so on involved in this broader milieu, all of which come with the distortive effects I described above. John Sweeney and Evelyn Grun have provided exhaustive guides to those who those money interests are and how they astroturf and hijack political movements on their YouTube and their Substack. You should check those out if you're unfamiliar with them. The availability of this information, the knowledge that so many of the figures thrust in front of our noses to take up space in the endless conversation are essentially fake, has basically no impact on how they are received. People know. They just don't care because the pigs must feed. It would be instructive to go through John Arcto's incredibly well-researched list and to try to answer in each case what or who is the higher master being served, what ends, what political goals are being advanced, and furthermore to ask in the final analysis whether these ends and goals serve to strike genuine blows against the power structure, or rather to bolster, renew, and strengthen it by containing and draining dissident energy. I would suggest that nearly 90% of those Arcto lists are working towards the latter and represent some form of containment and crowding out of genuinely independent voices. If anything, this is an understatement. Naturally, the plebeian, the average internet user, the great unwashed anon, is staggeringly stupid, rightly called stupid hobbitses by Curtis Yarvin, and therefore cannot tell the difference. In any case, he, or less likely she, does not really care because this is all a strange form of postmodern entertainment to them. Anyway, it is a surrogate activity, like watching a soap opera. It does not really matter if their favourite e-celebrity is an astroturfed paid shill, because to them, it makes no real difference. As I said, they do not care if their discourse is basically fake. What matters to them is that they are fed their daily dose of slop. The clowns can change, but the show must go on. That's a link to my article, Tuning Out the Clown Show, which again, you should watch or read. The upshot of all of this is that the system has successfully neutered and tamed what was once something that alarmed them, in much the same way it neutered and tamed the left, simply by bringing them in. The left, by which I mean the true left, has long understood the way in which capitalism can do this. Liberalism's great strength is its ability to bring in its critics in order to smother them. Social media no longer needs to censor anyone because they are simply drowned out in a flood of noise and nonsense, a raw sewage pipe of slop. And one cannot really stand against the sewage pipe, since the only outcome is that you too become covered in shit. The left was defanged and made to wear a ridiculous rainbow-coloured frilly shirt as the world laughed at them. And now a similar process is taking place on the right. The monkeys will be made to dance to a different tune and wear a different skirt, but dance they will, and they do it so dutifully too. The handful of genuinely independent people left can see all this happening, We sometimes talk to each other too, but you can count those on two hands. As this process plays out, it will be grim viewing. The best you can do is to keep yourself sane by staying as far away from it as possible. All right, hopefully that was underlined all the things I was trying to say in the main presentation here, just a little bonus on the end. Let me know what you make of all this. You know, increasingly people say I'm a little bit too cynical. They say, hey, you know, you're a bit too much of a Daria, they say. To which I say, come on, wake up. Just wake up. Stop believing in crap, will you? Anyway, if you want to spend time and effort doing something more enriching than all of this, you can take my course, Foundations of Shakespeare. Buy it now. And catch me again tomorrow, where I'll be talking about the British news. Oh, and I should remind everybody, while I'm at it, my two new channels, AA Culture and AA Gaming. You'll find it on my community tab. I'll be giving you constant reminders because all of my old culture and gaming content is being migrated over there over the next couple of weeks. So if you're not subscribed to those, please do check them out, because YouTube doesn't like me doing anything that's not politics, basically. So there we go. Later. Get out, gone. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.